Yeah.
So you were late if you weren't 15 minutes early.
Nice.
Where was that?
In Chicago.
Really?
Manufacturer. We're time anal.
Speaking of manufacturing, it's, you know, I'm all trying to get the margins. Careful what you're told, you can source the money, not to mention to confirm this. But only applies to probably sold to Nevada. So if you're manufacturing, you're stupid. You're exporting out of state, your sales, you're out of state, that income is not applied.
But that's not income, it's revenue.
I'm revenue.
Do you have that?
No.
I heard the governor changed that here.
That it would apply?
For internet?
You're a smart man.
No.
Talk about the margin tax.
Margin tax. All PCUs and all that. But that would.
Well, you know.
Change.
Well, a lot of companies don't sell anything in Nevada.
Right. They still don't have it in the past. But at the same time, if it did, that would be something. So, you know, when I'm recruiting, I'm dealing with a company right now trying to get up here. And that was an issue at once. So I can tell them, well, most of your stuff is going out of state, international.
It still scares them.
It still like that. Because it opens the door.
I want an in and out road at McDonald's.
It's not closing. No, they're rebuilding it.
They're closing the in and out. I mean, the McDonald's, the old Kmart. As soon as they rebuild the McDonald's.
I'm
really upset about it.
That's not absolute.
Yeah. That's
not absolute.
Well, I heard it was.
Really? Well, if it is,
yeah.
It is.
But could you get an in and out there? So I don't have to go all the way to.
Yeah, come on, Rob.
Topsy Lane. And an IKEA, that's all I want. And a Steinmark. If you give me those three, I will never leave town.
Let's see now. Don't we want John to leave town sometimes? I don't know. I might be working against your cause here.
It's all I want. I don't ask for a lot.
You don't. I know you're a giver.
Okay,
we have 1 minute.
Okay. Oh, I just did that.
You were supposed to teach your attention.
We're proceeding.
Come in for say now.
It's a whole file. Getting back to class?
Okay. It's 3:00. We'll convene the Carson City Charter Review Committee meeting for April 23rd. It's 3 p.m. And I'll ask Tamar if you'd call the roll, please.
Chairperson Joyner?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Robertson?
Here.
Member DePauw?
Here.
Member Fregolia?
Here.
Member Machuska?
Here.
Member Messina?
Here.
Member Schaefer?
Here.
The quorum's present.
Thank you very much. This time I'm going to call for public comments. This is our first opportunity to receive any comments from the public. We'll have another one at the end of the meeting. If there's anyone here at this time that would like to make any comments to the committee on items that are not on today's agenda, I'd ask that you reserve those comments until the items on the agenda are announced. Please address us now. Supervisor Shirk.
Jim Shirk for the record. Thank you, Chairman, and committee members. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk to you. I did not have an opportunity to get my questions to you prior to your meeting today. I know it was advertised to get those questions to you. I apologize I did not get those to you, but what I am doing is presenting them today to you. So in the future, you can address them or at least have it on your agenda for future discussions. And the first one I'd like to address is letters, faxes, or emails that are addressed to the board members of supervisors, whether they came presented as to the mayor and board of supervisors, to the board of supervisors, to the city manager, mayor, and board of supervisors, or any variations thereof. According to Carson City Charter Section 3.020, The manager shall carry out the policy of the board in accordance to NRS 244135. The functions of the manager shall be as required by the Board of County Commissioners or Board of Supervisors. However, here's the dilemma. If this board so elected or voiced their opinion or voted on favor of, no material such as I just described, letter, emails, or faxes, should be given to any Board of Supervisors and direct the manager to do so, then I am deprived of getting any U.S. mail, emails, faxes, or other items addressed to me if the board, and they can by these descriptions I just said, give direction to the manager not to give us our mail. So what I need this chartered review to is to look at that and examine it. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong and incorrectly, and I'd appreciate your interpretation and if this could be on your future agenda items. The second issue I'd like to address is, and bear with me if you can follow along with me, it's a little, if the mayor should decide to run for re-election, the way the board is now presently set up, Ward 2 and 4 would be at a disadvantage because they could not run for that position because their term is in conjunction with or similar to the mayor. So when the mayor is up for re-election, Ward 2 and 4 are also up for re-election. So if they wanted to run for mayor, they would have to resign the seat and run for mayor, whereas Ward 1 and 3 can run for the mayor's position when he's up for re-election and not give up their right to their seat. There's a clear distinction, separation between which ward you're in and which direction you can move forward. And what I'd like this charter review to look at is if the mayor was in a position or his elected position was two terms of 6 years each, equaling the 12 years, he would run for election opposite Ward 2 and 4 and opposite 1 and 3 at various times. So each board member would have the same opportunity as the other board member. And again, that's something I look forward to having on your agenda in the future for discussion. And finally, the third and final thing I'd like to bring up is minutes of the board meeting. If, for example, the board was to have a meeting on May 1st and have an agenda item, and it was discussed, voted on, and it had to come back for a second vote, and let's say that second vote was convened on May 15th, we would not have the minutes of the meeting from the first time. So we're having a meeting over the same agenda item, but the public would not have access to the minutes of the meeting so that they could look and examine and see what was in the first meeting as it comes back to the second meeting for discussion and the second vote. So what I'm asking for is this charter review to look at, if, as I said, if we have a meeting on May 1st with an agenda item and it's voted on and it needs to come back and it comes back on May 15th, as an example, it could come back even after that, those minutes of the meeting where the first vote was taken should be presented at the second reading where the vote is taken. That's my opinion, and I'd like to have this charter review look at that as well. I know we can't have a discussion, and again, I apologize for not getting this into the committee in time for discussion, but now we have it presented to you, and if we could look forward to on the future agenda items, if it's worthy to have a discussion about it, and that's up to your discretion.
Well, no, we'll consider it. But I would ask that you comply with our requirements for application, and I think you need to put those either in an email or in writing to the city manager's office so that it can properly come before the board. And you can copy me on those.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. But, yeah, that would be the proper course. And then if they fall within the purview of charter issues, we'll certainly do that. If not, we'll let you know why they don't. But,
okay.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other public comments at this time? If not, we will move on to possible action. Before I do that, we've all met each other at prior meetings, the committee members. Mr. Metesca was on the phone at our introductory meeting. I'd like him to just say a few words about himself again, and it's welcome to the committee. Michael.
Well, thank you. My name is Michael Metesca. I will respond if you call me Michael Matuska. I lived in Carson City, I think, now for 20 years. I'm a practicing attorney, have a family in Carson City. no real former appointments to the public body, so this really is a first for me, but I'm happy to be participating. I was nominated by Supervisor Brad Bonkowski, who is my leasing agent, although he is going to try and raise my rent this year, so we'll see how that goes. I'm sure I can handle it, though. Thank you.
And that's what I call full disclosure. I appreciate it. We know where you're coming from. Now. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Michael. We have minutes of February 5 this year, and I should comment on this. There was some question about minutes. NRS has changed the process because of the electronic world that we live in and because of the overload of a lot of people in state and local governments. We don't get real detailed minutes. We get reference back to an item at the place in the meeting it was, and you can go and listen to those audio tapes, I understand, and get more information. So that's going to be the format, you know, unless there's some question and someone wants something more detailed, we can have it come back maybe at the next meeting if there's a reason for that. But having said that, if you all had a chance to look at February 5th's summary. If you have, I would entertain a motion. If you wanted to take a few moments, I'd allow that also.
I move to approve the minutes for our last charter review committee meeting.
A second.
I have a motion by Mr. Schaefer, a second by Mrs. Fergulia. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, they passed unanimously. We move on to item 5, adoption of the agenda. Does anybody have any question about the order of the agenda or what's on the agenda? Anything you'd like to add or delete, postpone for any reason? If not, we'll go through them one at a time. All right, we'll move on to item 6 for possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding a change to the city charter that allows school board trustees to be elected in the same manner as the proposed elections of the Board of Supervisors. This was submitted online by Mr. Morris White, and I believe Mr. White is here. The summary is the change would allow for trustees to be voted on by district in any primary and at large in the general elections. In view of the success this idea has had for supervisors, it is time to give the same consideration to trustee elections. That's the quote of Mr. White. So, Mr. White, I think we do have some response to you that I've gained from working with staff, but I'd like you to address us first. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. Morris White, for the record. Indeed, that was my proposal. However, looking further into this, it appears that there is already a system for doing just exactly what I proposed, which would perhaps make this not the purview. My suggestion may not be the purview of this committee. What I've discovered is that NRS 386-200 allows the current process that is being used. And in that NRS 386-200, there's a couple other things that come up. It appears that there's two ways to bring about this suggestion that I have made. One, the Board of Supervisors can do that under 386-225, and the second one is the Board of Trustees can also do this same thing under 386-205. However, there seems to be some confusion as to really has the actual jurisdiction to hear to this particular proposal. So what I would ask today is to modify my suggestion and simply by resolution, this body communicate to the Board of Supervisors that they would like staff to put together a statement of how this process would work and then begin to set in place that process. And this is all in consideration that in November, we will vote on an advisory question suggesting exactly this process for electing Board of Supervisors. And I think in the community that we have here, the makeup that we have, I think it is appropriate that the school board trustees get the same consideration that we are potentially providing for the Board of Supervisors.
Any questions for Mr. White? Mr. Schaefer?
Mr. White, one quick question. Your recommendation in the wording is to change the process so that it aligns with the same way that the supervisors are elected, the Board of Supervisors. But if that changes, is your recommendation that it aligns with that as it does change?
Well, actually, there is a proposal to change how the Board of Supervisors are going to be elected. My proposal is to move the Board of Trustees into that same format as the proposed change for supervisors.
Okay. My understanding, and I might need some help with this, but my understanding is that this proposed question that is going to come up in November is to have the board, and that's a separate agenda item, but that would be that the individual members of the Board of Supervisors would be elected by their ward.
They would be.
For both the primary and the general election.
The ballot question proposes that the election is for wards in primary only, and then in the general election they would be at large.
Okay.
Just a question. Does even the Board of Supervisors have any authority over how the school Board of Trustees are elected?
Well, as I stated here in 386.225, the Board of Trustees, by resolution, after a public hearing, can change how the Board of Trustees are elected.
But not the Board of Supervisors?
Not the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So let me follow up on that. I had the same concern. So if the Board of Supervisors can't affect the change for the trustees, what would we forward to the board to consider? That sounds like something that would have to be done by the trustees or back through maybe the legislature to change the statutes on the trustees.
Well, no. In 386.225, the Board of Supervisors can indeed manipulate how, well, maybe that's not the right word, adjust. They can adjust how these school board trustees are elected. Yes. So I think there's some confusion there in these two codes that I have discovered. Seems like they both have the authority to do this. So I think it would be good if you, considering the appetite of the community to make these changes, I think it would be good if you, by resolution, ask the Board of Supervisors to direct staff to come up with some clarification as to really what should take place to do this.
Mr. Matusky?
A comment for Mr. White. First of all, I can see why this issue would arise in this climate when there's a prospective change, or at least discussion of a change to the voting requirements for supervisors. But my comment and question for Chairman, and maybe for the staff from the District Attorney's Office, unless this issue of school board elections is within our charter, I question whether it's even something that we would be advising the Board of Supervisors on, even if the Board of Supervisors had some jurisdiction to alter the school board elections. And I did look through the city charter for that. I don't see anything about the school board elections. I wanted to ask Mr. White about this before he left. Is there a specific a section of the city charter that you're referring to that would allow us to advise on school board elections?
I don't believe there is. And I don't have all the NRS codes with me at this point, but in its natural state, school board trustees are elected at large without having the districts laid out as they are here in Carson City. Once a community accesses the 386-200 to create all these different districts, that is then when 386.225 and 386.205 come into play. So specifically from the charter, no, but by way of other legislative acts, the supervisors apparently do indeed have the ability to do this.
Right, but I've made my comment. I would leave it up to the chairman and the district attorney's office to comment further on whether this is even within our jurisdiction. Our jurisdiction is limited to advising.
Our jurisdiction is limited, as I understand, is limited to advising about the issues in our charter, and I don't think our charter addresses the school board elections.
Right. That was a question I had, is if it doesn't and if it was silent on it, would it be appropriate to maybe add a section to reflect this, if that was the will of the board and the people? But I was going to ask Mr. Munn what he thought about that, or maybe we need to take a meeting. This is the great thing that we have with this committee, is that we don't have to make decisions the first time these things are heard. We can take time and do some more research and come back at subsequent meetings. So I would ask Mr. Munn if that's even somewhere we can go with this, or if we just need to refer Mr. White to the board and anybody that wants to support him can take it there, or the legislature, if that's it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I mean, clearly the charter doesn't address Board of Trustees for the school district in any way. And obviously the way schools are managed in our state have a comprehensive legislative scheme, which, frankly, I don't think the legislature would carve out an exception for one local jurisdiction to manage how they manage schools statewide our own preference way. Even if everyone said, yeah, let's do it that way, I'd be shocked if the legislature would carve out one jurisdiction to do it different than everybody else. I'm trying to buzz through the citations that Mr. White provided. I don't see any reference to the Board of County Commissioners in 386.225 or
200.
Oh, 200.
Well, no, 200 does not make a specific mention of the Board of Supervisors. However, 205 does.
205?
No, hold on, wait a minute here. In 386.200, subsection 8.
200, subsection 8.
The Board of County Commissioners, by resolution, change the boundaries of school trustee election areas or the manner of nomination or election of school trustees. After A and B, a subsection 8.
It's also look at number 200.
Yeah. Well,
So I think that's where, at least in my mind, there's some confusion as to, do you have jurisdiction, do you not? How does it look like it to me that it would be something we even have to ask the legislature? I mean, the way I would interpret that, the Board of Supervisors could just act on their own without a question of the legislature,
and you,
as well as the school board of trustees, could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's because once we set up the districts within, that it opens that door.
Once we accessed that 386.200, mm-hmm. it opened that door to these operations.
Okay. I mean, clearly, we don't know enough about the school district structure and how to read these statutes without some real staff work. I mean, I really can't opine on it.
Well, I would suggest, with the concurrence of the committee, that we postpone this and allow us to do some more research on it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. White. I would entertain action on this item, and the action could be to postpone to the subsequent meeting.
Do we have to do any action on it?
That would be the action.
I would so move.
Motion by Mr. Messina to postpone. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mrs. DePauw. All right.
All in favor?
We have discussion.
Any discussion?
Motion?
Yes.
I think that Mr. Munn probably wants direction on, or the clerk's office probably wants direction on whether we're asking them to do some research on this. And I would be a little cautious of asking them to devote a great deal of time to something if pretty much we're all satisfied is outside of the scope of the charter. It is possible that Mr. Munn might have to research this at the request of the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. But I'm still not seeing that the school board elections is an issue for this charter review committee, so I don't know that it's good policy for us to direct staff to do more research time on that. And again, I guess I would leave it out of Mr. Munn if he were clearly satisfied today that this is outside of the scope of the charter review committee, then I would leave our involvement at that.
What about this? The one thing I would do in the interim between the next meeting and now is see if there's any other district in the state that's created the districts within that has dealt with this issue of the county commissioners being involved in legislating how they affected their elections. Just that, you know, just to see. Otherwise, I would direct Mr. White to the school board, to, because they certainly have jurisdiction over recommending how they do their elections.
And we can still postpone, but I think the question is what the staff are going to do in the meantime.
Mr. Munn?
Well, I'm not opposed to spending an hour or two poking around to find out some answers. I mean, certainly if it's a monumental task, I would inform the chairman.
Thank you.
Okay, so any other discussion on the motion to postpone? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. We'll go on to number 7. Possible action, discussion, and possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors an amendment to the Charter regarding changing the election of supervisors from at-large to being elected by voters within the ward that they are to represent. The mayor would continue to be elected at-large. Summary. Mr. Vitale, John Vitale, who is also present here today, is proposing that candidates for supervisor be elected entirely from their residing ward in both primary and general elections. His proposal does not propose to amend the current practice of electing the mayor at large in both the primary and general elections. The Nevada legislature passed a bill amending the charters of Carson City and several other Nevada cities in both 2011 and 2013, requiring that these local government supervisors or city council members be elected ward-only in both primary and general elections. Governor Sandoval vetoed each of these measures. Carson City, by action of the Board of Supervisors, has chosen to place a modified version of this proposal before the city's voters in November 2014. This ballot question will ask if the voters approve of ward-only voting for supervisor candidates in the primary election with an at-large election of citywide voters for the top two candidates in the general election. And as you remember, I gave you a summary when we first met in February on the different cities in the state that do it. Ward in primary and general. There are some general law cities and charter communities affected different ways. So this issue, as Ms. DePauw, who's been on this board, I think, longer than any of us can attest, it's come up quite regularly. And we have taken it to a vote of the people in Carson City before, and it was a dead tie. We remember that history. It's been at the legislature many times, as I indicated, and it's been dealt with in both houses and by the governor. So, Mr. Vitale, would you like to add any discussion to your item?
For the record, John Vitale, I used to serve on this committee a long time ago. I think, Don, I think you were on when I served. I was appointed by Senator Jacobson, if that gives you any idea how long ago it was. Anyway, my rationale is quite simple, and I think I explained it fairly well in my input. But what concerns me is that I think we want the best people we can get on the Board of Supervisors, and that may or may not be the person who is available in general terms, has a lot of time. We've got a lot of good people in this town who have families and may have limited income, large families, limited time, limited money. By changing running in both the general and the primary to wards only, we're cutting the cost for putting out a campaign down to 25% of what it is now. When you consider the time available, the money available for signs are a big thing, the number of signs you would need, the number of hours you would need to walk and pound on doors and that sort of thing, introduce yourself to people. I think it would be a much better process and give our candidates the better opportunity to really become known to the people they're going to serve. And I think we'd like to encourage a lot of different people to get on the board and serve. A lot of different viewpoints I think would be healthy for the community. Present system, unfortunately, requires a fairly significant amount of money and a whole lot of time. And that, therefore, it limits the availability of people that might otherwise be willing to serve. So my rationale is that. Why the governor chose to veto that is beyond me. I have no idea what his rationale was, but I think that he's absolutely wrong in doing that. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions for Mr. Patel?
Any questions? I don't have any questions. I have comments, which I'll address with the committee. But I think your proposal is very clear. We've had it before this committee and at the legislature many times before. As I indicated, I don't know if you got my summary from the first meeting, going through the different cities. The most recent city that made this change from ward in the primary and then in the general to ward in both general and primary was the city of North Las Vegas, which is, I think, now surpassed the size of the city of Reno. That was within the last decade. And they thought it was going to be the end of the world. Our current Speaker of the Assembly was then a planning commissioner at the time. She brought it to the legislature when she got elected to the Assembly. They effected the change. All of the incumbents got reelected. And so it wasn't the end of the world that they thought it would be, the incumbents that were there at the time. But it did make it, as you indicated, much more cost-effective. And, you know, as I ran a campaign, and I know others have, there's a good percentage of this community that believes we do get elected by ward. You're campaigning in one ward, and they say, what are you doing here? You live over in Ward 1. You're running in that ward. What are you doing in Ward 3? So they assume, a lot of them, that it's that way anyway. And there's only four cities left in Nevada that don't have it, general and primary. So that's just my input. But any other questions? Yes, Larry?
Or your comments?
Thanks for your attention. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thank you, John. There's good points on both sides of this issue. I'm a very firm believer in the fact that we have five people in the city that are setting policy for the entire city. And as a voter and a citizen, I want to be able to vote for all five. I don't want to just vote for two. I also want all five to represent the best interest of the entire city, not just their ward. I don't think we're big enough where that kind of thing is necessary. So, as before, I'll continue to vote against this.
Well, I'd just like to say that John's right. It has been beaten up since the mid-80s about the ward voting. And there was a compromise made through the Charter Review Committee last time that went to the Board of Supervisors for a ballot question going on there, November 2014. However, this was the first time I had ever gone to the legislature and went to a few of their meetings, and one of them was about the ward voting, and I was really surprised how many people were in favor of ward voting for all their communities. And it truly amazed me. And I learned a lot from that, because it just wasn't Carson that was looking at this. It was the whole state that was looking at this. And I was also surprised after it was fought a long, hard battle and approved that the governor chose to veto it. I am totally in favor of doing it this way, of John's way. I think it's the right way to do it. I don't have a problem with it at all. That's what I would prefer and how we should do it, because I think it's a more fair system than what we have coming up on the ballot that does not allow, if you get over 50%, you do not automatically win. And that is not a good thing, in my opinion. So I'm totally with you on this one.
You know, I should open up public comment. Are there any members of the public here today that would like to address this issue before we continue our discussion? Seeing none, okay. Other discussion? Bruce.
I agree with Member Messina that there's pluses and minuses to this issue on both sides. Carson City's area is, what, 6 square miles, something like that, and I don't see why the issues in the Northwest are any different than the issues are in the Northeast. And like Larry said, I want the mayor and all 4 supervisors to represent me, not just one. In terms of cutting down the cost, I don't think there's any restrictions on how much money you can spend to run for election. If somebody feels they need to spend $200,000, they can certainly do that, and that's going to have some kind of outcome on an election, maybe negative, I don't know. But I just think that it's worked well ever since the city's been consolidated.
I sort of reviewed this at home a little bit and pulled up the little color chart that they have. And I guess when I first moved here, I didn't pay too much attention to the wards and everything because I lived in and worked in different parts of the community. And when I would take walks downtown, I live below Sea Hill. I hope I have this right, but all the different colors, I was actually walking in 3 of the 4 districts or wards when I was walking around town. And my bias is to reflect what Mr. Messina and Bruce have stated, is to have my representatives from all the wards be looking at the needs of the entire community because we have such an impact on each other. But when we discussed this once before, I was also interested to look at the compromise of voting at the primary level on the ward basis only, and then at the general election to vote for all the representatives, because from what I've seen with process and with looking over the charges of the Board of Supervisors, they have to be fairly generalist in representing the community as well as maybe some of their specific needs in their area.
Everyone is giving their opinion on whether they're or indicating whether they would favor the proposed change to ward-only voting. That's not exactly the request that Mr. Vitale is making, though. He's asking us to comment on a ward-only voting proposal that is slightly different. Well, it's different in an important respect than the one that the commissioners or than the one that our supervisors are going to put on the ballot as an advisory question. So what Mr. Vitale is really asking us to do is to ask our Board of Supervisors to come up with a different advisory question.
Let me interject. He's not asking that we put a different advisory question in. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Vitale. He's asking that they take this up through the charter review process and on to the legislature to effect this change regardless of the ballot issue that's now being proposed.
Well, I think we have to discuss that in terms of what really is going to happen with the advisory question and whether we go to make a recommendation that's different than what the before we even have the results from the advisory vote. I think we need to talk about what this committee's role is going to be in moving the advisory question forward or opposing it, and where our advisory opinion fits in with that process. I think we need to be discussing that rather than telling the board or asking the Board of Supervisors to come up with a different approach to ward-only voting than the one that's going on the advisory question. And that's not even giving an indication of my feelings on this, on the issue of the ward-only voting.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is an advisory question going on about this. Nothing's going to stop that. And I can tell you this, nothing's going to stop this issue from coming back to the legislature also, regardless of what this community does, because there are forces at bear, as you can see, both houses passing something and taking it to the governor two sessions in a row. That issue's not going away. But back to this issue. Yes, you're right. Mr. Vitale and others, I've gotten another correspondence just today, folks supporting this issue and still, I think, contacting the manager's office on it, wanting it both in primary and general. What our position will be on the proposing or not supporting the ballot question, I don't think, I could be wrong, but does this committee want to go political and take a stance on a ballot question and support it up or down? I don't think that's our place.
We already did it.
We already did it. I mean, you know, some of us voted for that modified version of the ward vote only, and some of us didn't, and it went on its own merit. So, and as you saw, it went on to the legislature, and that issue, we were swept up in with three other cities into the issue that was bigger than us all by those forces in the legislature that wanted it to be in the general and the primary. So, you know.
Well, that's the ironic thing here. We are the Charter Review Committee, but the way the question and proposed change is going forward without going through the Charter Review Committee. It would go on an advisory question. Supervisors can or cannot follow the results of the advisory question. They can or cannot present that to the legislature, which can or cannot follow the request from the Board of Supervisors, and that result may or may not be signed off by the governor anyway. All that affecting our charter without the Charter Review Committee being involved in it. I think we have the right to ask ourselves if we want to take a stance on the advisory question, though. And if the result is no, then that's the result. But I would tend to think that proposed amendments to the charter that this committee, well, it's an advisory committee anyway. Mm-hmm. I would tend to think that this committee can give an advisory opinion, or at least an opinion on whether it favors or disfavors advisory questions, whether or not the amendment is going to go through this committee anyway.
Right. We can do that. Now, this committee did take a stance, some of you weren't on it, but to support, the majority did support the ballot questions going forward now. We can take that vote again if you'd like to see if the 2014 edition of that committee still supports it, but that is already out there. And your issue of the advisory, we are advisory to the board, that is not exactly true anymore since the 2013 legislature gave charter committees the authority to go straight to the legislature regardless of the support or non-support from their governing board. City of Sparks, for example, has always gone straight to the legislature with just a courtesy advice to their council of what they're doing. That's the way the council chose to conduct their charter review committee. They wanted a lay member committee to have autonomy and go straight with their recommendations. Here we've gone to the board with recommendations. They can, if the majority of us unanimously, if we chose an item, the board can turn it down. Now if we have the majority support something, our board turns it down, we can go straight to the legislature with that proposal and garner a supporter of that bill. So that's the new law. That's the new. But on this issue, I don't mind taking a straw vote of how many of us support the primary. I don't think it's on the agenda for that measure today. But on this ward-only general and primary, we do have the right to support or not support that issue, regardless of this other ballot issue going forward. When we can, it can go parallel. It's not going to the voters, it's going to the board and then potentially on to the legislature, regardless of the advisory question on the primary only ward vote.
Rob?
Yes.
I agree with Mr. Matuska. I think that the question is, do we want to recommend to the Board of Supervisors? The wards are elected by primary and general election.
That's the question.
That's the question.
That is the question before. That's the agendized question. And I can tell you, as I indicated, I'm getting calls and more correspondence since this agenda item was announced of people that want to make an opinion. They weren't available to be here today. I don't mind putting this off to have more input if you see that that's what we should be doing for the public.
I just want to be clear again to go back and talk about an item that was discussed earlier. the question before us is not to amend the resolution.
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
Okay. So we're not amending the question or the resolution on the November ballot.
Absolutely.
What is before us here is to amend the charter.
That's correct.
Right.
That's
and through the process of going through the charter review and taking that to the legislature independent of the Board of Supervisors, if that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it can.
We could.
We could.
Yes.
We could.
It's not the option.
Mr. Chairman, my feeling is that just voting yes or no on this issue today is not even a very, it's too easy. It's not even a very great service to the public. If we have to vote on this issue, mm-hmm. and maybe we do,
no.
I would continue it so we could develop some more thorough opinions that might actually carry some weight and be listened to. My feeling, though, is that it would be very confusing and not very attractive to go forward on a parallel effort that is slightly different than the advisory question going forward.
Ms. Money, do you have a question?
Well, I can just kind of summarize what I've listened to. The chairman is correct that if this board had a different mind than the prior board charter review committee that went with the mixed option that's now going to the ballot question, if this new board, this new committee, decided that we really want ward voting, under this provision, you would eventually, if you approve this by a majority, it would go to the joint meeting and be considered by the board. And if the board says, no, we don't want to do board voting, we want the ballot question to go forward and we'll decide after that how we'll conduct ourselves. Under the changes that the chairman said the legislature provided, he is correct that if this committee voted to say we want to have ward voting and took it to the Board of Supervisors and they said no, then you could elect a member to go and represent you before the legislature to try and find your own sponsor for that measure. So there's some wheels in motion. Those don't change. This is... Do you want to take a parallel path with a different direction?
Thank you. That's exactly right. That's the way I understand it.
What do we have to do today on this?
We don't have to do anything. We can take no action. We can take action to postpone. And I would recommend one of those because I think there will be more input, and we obviously need time to discuss this further.
I certainly don't have a problem with postponing this and getting more input from the general public. I think it's always very important we get that. I don't think I'm misspeaking here, but all of our state representatives did vote yes on this issue. So if that gives you some insight into that, I just thought I'd share that with you. So, who represent Carson City?
I guess postpone. I don't know what more information we could come up with, or more opinions we could sway here. Postponing this, we've been at this for how many years? What else could we bring in? I wouldn't agree to postponing it.
If I might, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with Larry, but being new to the committee and hearing that we have plowed this ground for several years before with this very cooperative and coordinated effort that crafted a resolution question, why would we begin a completely different parallel track now? Is it just an item that will always be before us and we just need to realize that we're always going to address this one and we just might as well put it on the agenda at the very beginning of every committee? Or can we say we've been down the road and we just need to act on it? If that has been discussed already, what new will we find out? And I would say that for my purposes, I would move that we continue this discussion item so that I can do some more study and look at some of the discussions in the minutes of the past charter review committees to craft my own opinion. But
I think that's a good point. Exactly. Mr. Matuska obviously had questions, and we're clarifying some of those. Mr. Schaefer does also. I see Mr. Barrett here from our illustrious press, and I think that will generate more input to us from our community. It is a hot item, and as Mr. DePaz says, this is getting hotter and hotter each year. The legislature, it was unanimous through one house to pass this forward, you know, nonpartisan or bipartisan. And there are only four communities left that don't do it with the true ward voting. I've worked in communities that do it that way. It's not territoriality. You don't hold each other ransom. People do call other supervisors if they don't get back from there. Some supervisors have a reputation of just not calling their constituents back. Guess what? They'll call the other one and they'll do the right thing. It is a small community. It's ironic. It's so small you'd say we should run general citywide all votes at large. It's so small yet that if you did do it by ward and more people would have the opportunity to run, it's still small enough, as Christine said, you know, you work and live and walk through everybody's town, everybody's district. You work and play and recreate and go to church in different places. It is one community. But at the same time, it's nice to have representation closest to home. And I've been around this. I lobbied against it when I worked for City of Sparks, and I fell on the sword for that. And yet the right thing to do in my heart is ward-only voting. And I've advocated that since I've had my own voice. And I think we should postpone this and get some more input. I've had emails and correspondence from folks that do want to be heard on it and come before us. Mr. Messina.
Mr. Schaefer's point is very good. I think if Mr. Schaefer and Mr. Matuska, being new to the Charter Review Committee, need time to really study it, I would defer to that.
Thank you. So I can wait for a motion, or I can let this die for lack of motion, and we can take no action and move forward.
I move that we continue the item for another meeting.
All right.
I'll second it.
Motion by Mr. Schaefer, second by Mr. DePaz, to postpone this item. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Discussion and possible action regarding the chairperson or their Charter Review Committee member appointee will attend the legislature when a charter change is made to represent the entire community and answer any or all legislative requests about Charter Review Committee agenda items. This is submitted by Member DePaz. I'll let you read your summary then and discuss this.
Oh, thank you. The summary, at this time, there's no requirement for a Charter Review Committee member to be at the legislature to answer for the public they represent. This would require a representative to be there. This item also was also suggested by Assemblyman Daley when he attended our Charter Review Committee meeting in February. And I had planned on bringing this forward even before Assemblyman Daley brought it to our attention that he felt it was a good idea. And one of the things I have learned over the years is we used to have no one that attended from the Charter Review Committees go to the legislature after we proposed items to the Board of Supervisors. We've had supervisors explain what we've done. We've had city staff explain what we've done, but we've never had, like, a representative from the Charter Review Committee actually go in unless they've been requested to go in. This would allow us to have our chairperson who represents the public, who we are supposed to be representing, go to the legislative session and just answer any questions that the legislature may have, because they are here listening to the general public and are attending the actual meetings. And this would just allow the chairperson or their appointee to attend when we have charter items that the Board of Supervisors have approved to be going to the legislature for review and acceptance.
Would this be a change to the charter?
Yes. Yes.
So as a change to the charter, does this necessarily go before the legislature?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anytime you have a change to the charter that is approved by the Board of Supervisors, it goes to the legislature, no matter what.
Each community has a charter bill. And so it's encapsulated into one large omnibus bill, and it includes all the requests, all the little amendments to your charter go in one bill, normally.
Is there a precedence for this in other communities or cities?
Well, I can tell you this, in working in three other communities, it's the norm, it's the policy that we are proposing to codify it. It's kind of a sad statement, but if that's not the way it's been done, I think codifying is no problem, that it be in the charter. I don't see any issue with it. It's just kind of like a policy and procedure. But I think it makes sense. It's the way it's normally done. Your chairperson is there, or vice chair is at the legislature with your staff. Normally just the lobbyist is there, that's there all the time for a larger community.
That's the other thing.
Along with the charter review committee member.
So based on your experience, it's policy, but not necessarily written into other charters. They just follow that policy.
That's right. That's what I've seen. It could be in it. It might just be a policy.
My problem with it is that we're appointed. We're not elected. I mean, anybody can go down and testify before any committee at the legislature. And I think if the Board of Supervisors wants our chairman or several of us to go, then we should accommodate them and go. I don't think as appointed people we should be speaking as a group for the city. I just don't think that's what we're here for.
Well, I was just going to say, well, again, I tend to disagree with that because we will see things differently as sitting on this committee versus how staff may view it or how the Board of Supervisors may view it. We have things in the charter as little as making the chairperson a two-year term and vice chair a two-year term. And I think it's important that we do set a procedure and a policy because we have never had that prior to this.
I can tell you another reason. There could be situations in there. Or first of all, the legislature expects, I think they look for a charter review committee member because that's the person that sat here and deliberated and met with the public and has the answers to their questions. Secondly, it could be an adversarial position. You know, you could be there and the board's of the minority opinion of where the charter review committee was. So it's best that at least both of you be there. I think what Ms. DePaul told me as she drafted this item was, yes, and Mr. Robertson's right. Anybody can be there. We proved that last session. We can go there on our own behalf, represent ourselves, not speaking for the committee, speaking for ourselves on an issue. Some of us did that. But what if you're not notified that an item is coming up that affects the charter, something you worked on with the public, and you're not aware of that? This would kind of make it policy that the staff, before they're going to go down and speak on an item that you worked on, your committee, that somebody on the committee, starting with the chair, is notified. That's what it would do.
Yes.
Is there any member of the public that would like to address this item? We'll open public hearing. If not, okay. Further discussion?
I did have a further question. Following up on some of Member Schaefer's questions, can we have the same effect without actually amending the charter or going through the legislature to do it? Would this have the same effect if it were put in place in our bylaws? We also operate according to our bylaws. And does staff really need the effect of statute to help inform us when a matter that affects our charter is going to be heard?
I'll let you answer that.
No. And the reason I say it could go on our bylaws, but it's not going to have the strength. And we need that strength. And the thing we have to remember, you know, and I'm not challenging any of our staff or our Board of Supervisors. We all just have to remember that when we make changes to the charter, we're not going to have the same staff members. We're not going to have the same Board of Supervisors. We're going to have changes, and that's always going to happen. And so with this policy in place, not just in the bylaws, because it would not be strong enough, with the policy in place, it would assure the general public and the legislatures, if they had questions for us in regards to our meetings and what we heard from the public, it would be from one of us, preferably the chair or their appointee, and it just won't have the strength in the bylaws, even though you could change the bylaws. But it's really doesn't hold the merit, in my opinion.
Well, I see this being an important question, a very fair question, because there certainly can and likely would be situations where the legislature that was reviewing a proposed change to a city charter would want to hear from representative of the charter committee, not just to speak on behalf of the public, but to address the deliberations of the committee itself. And with that in mind, is there anything that would preclude a second member from attending? If the legislature I wanted to get the details about the vote, they could hear it from both sides, right? It's just to make sure that someone is there to answer questions about the committee's vote and actions.
I think Mr. Munn had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Randy.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I make the committee aware that the Board of Supervisors has adopted policies and procedures for all boards and commissions, and it has a lobbying provision in there. I'd like to read it into the record. Unless expressly authorized by the Board of Supervisors, no board, commission, or committee, or any member of a board, committee, commission, or committee shall engage in lobbying or legislative or political matters on behalf of the board, the commission, or the committee of Carson City. Nothing in this policy precludes an individual appointee from lobbying or providing information as a private citizen, provided the appointee specifically clarifies that while he or she holds an appointed position, the appointee is acting in a private capacity and not in her capacity as an appointed member of a board, commission, or committee on behalf of the city. In that regard, individual appointees should refrain from lobbying as a private citizen in a way that implies authority to speak on behalf of the city or the public body in which they are appointed. In the face of that policy, I think it's accurate to suggest that if you don't have your right to go lobby a bill in your charter provision, you would be subject to that policy.
And I read that into the record, Mr. Munn, in our first meeting, and used that as the example of how I testified at the legislature last session in opposition to a proposal that the board was making. This is a very negative statement that says, yes, you can, you shouldn't, it looks bad, we're going to hold it against you, you're a miscreant for doing it, but you can, and I certainly did, but what we're asking for is a more proactive, positive statement that says you'll be notified. You'll be asked to go along with us so we can address this item together. Yes, this is clear, but this needs to be modified or, in addition to this. This is just your constitutional rights, but it's stated in a very negative way. But what Mr. Pa is asking for, and I support, is something that would say, yeah, we're going to notify you. We're going to go down together. Well, if we can't make it, you certainly should, because you were the ones that deliberated. And yes, on both sides, if it was a split decision, let's get someone from both sides of the issue to go down and have a robust discussion on the issue. Absolutely. So that's what we're asking for.
And at the risk of putting a fine point on this, do we have a conflict now with the changes in how charters can be amended? If the Charter Review Committee is authorized to go directly to the to our legislature, wouldn't it be expected that somebody from Charter Review Committee would be there? So,
but that's only if.
Yeah.
That's only, excuse me?
That's only if the Charter Committee does not get the support of the board and gets their own sponsor to go forward.
Right, but if the Charter Committee has the opportunity to go directly to the state level, in that instance, why would they be precluded from sending someone on behalf of the Charter Review Committee to the legislature? In fact, it kind of defies logic a little bit that if the Board of Supervisors rejects a proposal, that the Board of Supervisors will then present the proposal to the legislature. That would have to come from the Charter Review Committee.
Yes. If it was an item that the board did not support, this committee would have their own sponsor, and that sponsor, that legislator, would invite us to go along with them. But you could be down there, and we were in last session, you could be down there in an adversarial position against your own board and their position. If they're down there on an item that we weren't aware of that's being discussed, that's what we're saying. The policy should be that you are notified and invited to go along with.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I think in part this policy is driven by the fact that decisions are made by majority, and you can't have the minority down there trying to undermine you after the majority's voted.
That's right. And you should never, and you have this, is that the legislature, Mr. Munn, you always identify who you are, what your position is that day speaking on that item. And you clearly state, I'm a citizen of Carson City. I'm here on my own behalf. I happen to be a member of the Rotary and the Kiwanis, and, oh, yeah, I'm on the Charter Review Committee, but I'm not speaking on their behalf today. That's very clear, and you certainly have that right. But what's happened in this community is that you're not expected to go down and speak on your own behalf, ever. And it's really not, it shouldn't be that way. It should be that you have the right to go down and explain. Why were you in the minority? It was a split decision. Let me explain to you, Mr. and Ms. Legislator, this is why I spoke the way I did and why I voted the way I did. Yes, the majority went another way. That's our charter position. I'm not speaking for that today. The city is here to do that today, or somebody else. I'm speaking on my own behalf. But if it is a charter item, I think all of us should be notified that that item is going to be discussed. And the next item you see in the agenda, not to get out of order, is that we do the same thing for our Board of Supervisors. This happens all the time. There are charter issues being discussed at our Board of Supervisors. We're not made aware of that. Don't you think we should be part of that discussion? I'm not asking you that. I'm off the agenda. Thank you. But anyway, that's the clarification.
Randy, can I just ask you to clarify something? I kind of read from what you said as far as the policy for procedures. At this time, without changing the charter, we could not go down there and say, yes, I sat on the charter, and yes, I sit on the charter, and this is what occurred during our charter review committee meetings.
No, that's not what what the policy says is you can't speak on behalf of the city or the committee on which you serve. You can speak with an individual.
And see, and that's why if we change the charter, that would allow us to attend the meetings with staff. And if the legislatures had any questions in regard to our meetings, they could, you know, talk directly to the source. That's my whole concern about putting it into a charter, into the charter itself.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the practical application of that is if the Board of Supervisors disagreed with you, you get to do that anyway. If they did agree with you and they're going up there with an item, what you're saying is you should have a right to go and represent the board, represent the charter community in that process without invitation by the Board of Supervisors.
Yes, and the reason I'm saying that is because I found out through the last legislative hearings that they would ask me questions from being the former chair on, like, what occurred. Questions that I could answer that not necessarily staff could answer. And again, I am not complaining about anybody. I'm just trying to form it in the charter where we have that option. We can do it. and it's fair and reasonable. And even if we say nothing, you know, at least we're there in case staff is incorrect, we can correct it if by chance. And again, we're not always going to have the same board members. We're not always going to have the same staff members. Things change. It just makes it more practical that we're allowed to do that and speak to the charter. Otherwise, I mean, even, like I said, Assemblyman Daly was here. You need to have somebody from your Charter Review Committee be at the legislature. And for it to come from him, and being a former Charter Review Committee member himself in Sparks and recommending that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me to do it that way and have it in put into the charter.
So I'm just trying to think through the process. A charter issue comes up at the legislature, not driven by any city government, driven by a legislator. You get wind of it somehow, either through the city or somehow, or you're monitoring. I mean, because the legislature has no duty to tell you they're amending the charter, because they can act unilaterally. So you would have to have a provision that says some people are authorized, or every member. If every member is authorized, you all go down there and you have a quorum. That's a problem.
Right, which is what I want to prevent. That's why I recommended that we have the chairperson or their, that the chairperson's appointee to attend, and like Mike had asked if there could be more than one. Yes, there can be more than one. I don't have an issue with that. I mean, as long as you said there's not a quorum. And if there is a quorum, we know how to go by the open meeting law. So
Again, I'd like to remind the committee, we are appointed, and I believe the reason we are appointed is because the mayor, board of supervisors, our legislators are busy. They're on a lot of different committees, and we're here to make suggestions to them. We're not here to go speak for the people. We're not here to go speak for them. And I think what Randy said earlier, it's set up that the majority rules, and to go down there as one person or two people and not potentially, and all due respect, I'm not saying that you would do this, or Rob, or anybody else, but I don't think that's our job, and we're appointed.
Mr. Chairman, I still need clarification of an issue, though. If this were an issue that were going straight from the committee to the state, mm-hmm. Our supervisors have rejected it, does this policy prevent the committee from sending a representative to appear before the legislature?
The policy I read?
Yes.
No, because your charter provision is statutory. It's NRS, or it's not in the NRS, but it's a Nevada statutes of Nevada. So it precludes any inconsistent policy.
Yes, it does.
Can I ring in on this just a little bit? What was in my mind at first kind of a very clear item is not any longer, and I think I understand all of the moving parts, and I agree in a considerable way with Mr. Robertson, because even if we were to go down, my concern that I've heard discussed here is that we may end up in front of the legislature duking it out on an item that we duked out right here between us. If we had to go and say you can bring up the other side. And that's my concern. I think that what we should do, if we're going to make this a part of our bylaws, policy, or part of our charter, period, then it has to be with the express intent that you are speaking on behalf of the committee. The majority of the committee.
Absolutely.
Done. Mm-hmm. And so You know, to say, well, can there be two of us go and I can give the other side? I'm not sure that that's appropriate. I don't want to be, you know, as a Carson City charter in front of the legislature saying, you know, let's argue this out again. We've already discussed it and have a representative that would represent the majority of the committee. But only insofar as that, so to me, that's a very narrow bandwidth. You know, all the other things that come into play in our personal opinions or the reasons why we think we should be there speaking to a particular point might have to be done as an individual without the express approval of the Board of Supervisors. And in that case where we're there unilaterally without the approval of the Board of Supervisors, we certainly would be representing, or the chairman would be representing, the committee. And could only represent the committee, not their personal views.
In that capacity, yes.
Okay.
And that's what I'd like to see. It's just that it allows only the items, again, approved by the Board of Supervisors, the bills that go to the legislature. It allows the chairperson or his appointee to attend the legislature in case they have any questions. And I am in total agreement. The last thing I want to do is have a duke-out session, you know. We want to present ourselves professionally and everything else. This is just in case they have any questions that we can help answer for them. That's it.
Can we call for the question?
Yes, we can.
Do I hear a motion on this item? Any further discussion? Mr. Moon?
Any motions? Did someone make a motion on this
one?
No.
No, I haven't made a motion, no. I'm calling for the motion. Yeah.
I move to change the charter to allow the chairperson or their member appointee to be able to attend the legislature as a representative of the charter committee on any change recommended by the Board of Supervisors. Let me see if I'm getting this right. Has been approved by the Board of Supervisors to go for a bill in request to the change of the charter. Don't ask me to repeat it.
Okay. Tamar, did you get that motion?
I'll have to.
You listen to the tape. Yeah. Okay. Okay, is there a second?
I'm sad.
Well,
you guys.
We have a policy, we have a procedure in place.
I'll go there myself.
All right, yeah, item fails for lack of a second.
We have a policy.
Item number 9. What was that 9? No. Discussion of possible action regarding all Charter Review Committee members will receive Carson City Executive Office advance notice when CRC items are to be presented or discussed at the Board of Supervisors meetings during unscheduled and scheduled Charter Review Committee meeting dates. This also came from Member DePop. Would you like to read your summary and explain it?
Due to the fact that the Charter Review Committee only meets every 2 years but have items and recommendations of the Charter Review Committee discussed at later dates by the Board of Supervisors, the members should be notified of items for discussion so they may provide input, attend Board of Supervisors meetings, or hear the agenda item to be discussed by the Board of Supervisors. At this time, we're not being notified when any charter item that we have discussed goes to the Board of Supervisors. An example would be when the ballot question for the ward vote went to the Board of Supervisors. We heard nothing about it. We had to either be paying attention to the newspaper, read it online, but we're not getting any notification at all. And the charter is discussed more than the times we have meetings. So I would just like to have notification for all of us.
Any questions for Ms. DePauw? My question would be the same as the last one, and that is, I think it's a good idea. What's the mechanism? This is a change to our charter you're recommending? You're recommending this is language that changes our charter, so, okay.
Again, you need to have some strength in your policies, and you're not going to get your strength in the policy and procedures of the city, and this is the only, and even in our bylaws, it needs to be placed in the charter, just like I have said in the past, something as easily as keeping a chairperson for 2 years, because we would run into problems with all of a sudden having to call a special meeting. We didn't have a chairperson in place. And then we had members that were out because the representative was out of office. So this is just another enhancement to the charter, so we can make sure that we get all advance notice and materials that involve the charter.
Are you suggesting that should a charter change or something on the agenda for the Board of Supervisors come up, that once we're notified, we should meet again and then recommend on that? Or what are we supposed to do?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I don't see any reason to meet again. I see a reason for us to just be notified that this particular item from the Charter Review Committee is coming up on the agenda of the Board of Supervisors. It allows us to be informed, and that way if we have a certain passion or something about it, we could attend that meeting or let the Board of Supervisors be aware that we know what's going on and we want to be, informed of what's been happening with our charter items. I mean, there are items we suggest that sometimes go into ordinances or changes in bylaws or things because we just recommended it, but they've been turned down. So this just allows us to know what's going on, which we have not been informed in the past 20 years.
To change our charter for this, I don't think I can agree with that. I mean, if you were to get notifications of all city supervisors' meetings, I believe the city will email that to you. You just need to get on their emailing list. I do that for the Planning Commission for every meeting. But changing the charter is, I don't think we take it lightly, and I just don't see this as an important enough item to change the charter, in all due respect. Donna.
Other comments? Have we attempted to just get this as a policy or a procedure that you'd be notified of major changes that are, or major items that are before the board that affect the charter? Mr. Matuska?
I did have a comment. One would be simply whether it's appropriate or better to ask staff if they have a recommendation on the best way to accomplish this. And possibly it would be to, Mr. Robertson is right, we can get the agendas ourselves, but maybe as a protocol, committee members should just be added to the mailing list that gets the agendas, and that would largely have the same effect, I would think.
Well, if I may not be like everybody else. I'm not sitting in a computer all day long. I have a 24/7 caregiving job. I do not get notified, and I don't have time to sit there and go through every Board of Supervisor agenda or any other agenda. And I don't see what the big deal is about notifying people that our items are on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I'll speak on behalf of staff. I mean, we have a lot of committees that we track. And if we have special handling responsibilities for every single committee, staff will pull their hair out. As far as you not getting individual notification is from staff's point of view, once you've made your recommendation and the board approves it, it's no longer yours. It's the board's. And the board decides where things are going, and the wheels of motion of government get in going, and the next step in that process was the clerk's responsibility in getting a ballot question on the – I mean, all of those things are well far removed from this committee and its recommendation once those wheels of government start rolling. For staff to sit down and figure out, oh, well, the clerk is doing this because way down the road this committee recommended it, is ask too much of staff to try and ferret out, you know, who originated this and who I should notify separately than the normal notification they do as staff. So I anticipate that if the board was, if this committee was to recommend this to the board, that, I mean, with all due respect, the staff would probably oppose this to the Board of Supervisors.
Let me ask you this, and maybe it's for Marina. I know we're all in the electronic age, but there are still some who don't follow that as closely or don't even have access to it. Do you still mail agendas to folks that are on a list?
Yes, if they want it to be mailed, we absolutely will mail. They can come by and pick up. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I have to say, I really do appreciate Randy's comment, because I was sitting here thinking as you all are talking and going, oh, I could just see us missing some items. And a really good example might be the ward voting, because the clerk recorder does that whole process. And so Alan Glover took the lead on it, and I could just see it may sound like it shouldn't get missed, but it honestly, those types of things I can see could slip through, and I would hate to you know, I'd hate to have a policy then that we're failing at, and I would have. So I'm trying to think in my mind, how could we get a check and balance to make sure we're not missing a charter item? So I have to say, I do appreciate Randy's comments, and they're well taken, because it there are many, many committees, and these things would slip through, and I wouldn't want to disappoint the committee from that respect.
Further discussion?
You know, it seems to me, though, we're supposed to have the special relationship with a Board of Supervisors. I don't know if we need to do something very fancy. I guess I'm just wondering if there can be some mechanism with flagging items that are charter review recommendations that, you know, we be advised, or just, you know, get the meeting somehow that they're flagged, and that especially members that want to have that information on hand, that we can follow the progress of our recommendations. You know, I don't have a problem with seeing how it's pursued. I don't, but I also, from my understanding of being a member, was that I was supposed to be appointed here. We made recommendations, and then they went to the Board of Supervisors, and I was sort of essentially putting the process in their hands.
So maybe a mailed agenda, and you have to find them for yourself, figure out which ones are, because they do kind of create a life of their own. It could morph into a code change somewhere down the line that someone forgot that did initiate here, and or was, you know, indirectly related to a charter provision. You're going to answer that, aren't you? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the biggest issue is we're not like the Planning Commission or the Parks and Recreation Commission that meets once a month, and we know when agenda items are going on the Board of Supervisors' agendas. It's something that, you know, we meet twice a year, every 2 years rather, and only if need be. So it's kind of like a lot of our stuff will get stuck someplace for a few months before it even decides to show up. I used the ballot questions because that's the only one I could think of right offhand. But again, we have suggested changes in policy or ordinances that have come up that we're not notified of. And I honestly think it's wrong for certain things to expect any citizen to expect to constantly look at an agenda to see if it comes up or not. But, I mean, if this committee doesn't feel it's important enough that we get the information and that we shouldn't be notified of it, then so be it. I just happen to totally disagree with that because I think we're here for a reason. And that is just my personal opinion.
Okay. I'm going to open public hearing. Is any public discussion on this item, Mr. White?
Thank you, good committee. Morris White for the record. I applaud Donna for bringing this to the forefront. I wish she would speak stronger about what really the issue is, but I'm perfectly willing to do that. This is about an adversarial relationship that's been created by staff in the past, not necessarily today, whereby city manager has absolutely refused to communicate with this committee and purposefully put them out of the loop. I think you should strongly consider some measure that would require city staff to communicate with this committee about the work you're doing, because your work is important indeed. And when you are ignored and set into the corner in the dark, that is not a proper way to run the city or have a relationship with somebody you've asked to take their volunteer time and do this work.
Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion? I'll move for a motion.
I'm not going to do a motion because we need to wrap this meeting up today at 4:30, and we have other items that need to be discussed. So I'd like to recommend, if anything, we just move on and allow the other items to be discussed at a later meeting date and just go into our discussion on our May 7th meeting.
Okay, so you're asking that we had another item. This is number 9. You also had an item number 10. You're asking to postpone that to a future date, and we'll move on to item number 11. Is that your?
Yes.
Anybody have a problem with that?
I think, are we going to come back to 9 at a later date?
I could.
But we've concluded our discussion, though, right?
I believe so, unless some new information comes to light or some new policy or process that we can discuss. I'm going to suggest that maybe we take the city manager up on the recommendation to send us all agendas and we look for our items. If we see something that's that we think is related, we can address the board. So that would be no action been taken on this item. All right?
And that's fine. If you could all let me know, even at the close of the meeting, how you prefer to be notified, by email or by mail.
And again, just for the public notification, that's nothing that requires any action by the committee. That's just a request anybody can make of the city manager's office. So, okay. All right. So without any opposition, we're going to move on to number 11. We were notified that we're not going to have legal staff on May 7th, which was our next scheduled meeting. And so our meeting after that was May 20th, and if everyone's okay with that, this room is really hard to book, so if we're going to give up May 7th, I don't think we have another opportunity until May 20th, so we need to just understand that will be our next meeting date.
Can you give me the time?
May 20th, we were going to meet, I believe,
at 5:30,
right?
That's what I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I do apologize to the committee for legal staff not being available, but this conference comes once a year. It's the most affordable way for all of us to get our CLEs. We can bang them out in this one conference. It's sponsored by the Bar Association, and it's very affordable, so it's the best bang for the buck.
That's all good stuff. Okay, so next meeting, 5:30 at May 20th in this room. And this is our item number 12, public comment. Any further public comment from anyone today? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there any further discussion? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.